It's Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show, and on this episode, you're going to hear about Mark's recent vacation, a great gift that he brought me back. You're going to hear us talk about a lot of current events and a little bit of wrestling. It's an episode where Mark and I catch up after not seeing each other for about a month, and we just talk about what's on our minds. So, here we go.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman. I feel like I'm here with Heath Weinstein.
Oh, good night.
Right before we go on, there's a glare on the camera, and Heath says to me, I'm not worried about the glare on the camera. I'm worried about the glare in your eye when I get you into a certain position. I don't know, Heath, what you think's going to happen here today, but I'm not willing to whore myself out for fame and fortune.
Really?
Well, you know.
I've met you, Mark.
I tell you what I would do. Here's what
All right.
If I did whore myself out for fame and fortune, I wouldn't wait 20 years and say, he forced and blah, 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 blah. You know.
Anyway, hey, this is the wrestling podcast. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with. The wrestling you need to watch now, and obviously stuff, as Mark just attested to. I haven't seen you in about a month, my friend. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
You looking good. Look like you got a little, got some sun there.
Really? Because it's been like a month since I've been in the sun.
We're just, you know, typically, we used to go eat breakfast, and we'd kind of catch up, mm-hmm. and we realized we were losing about an hour and a half of recording time.
And so much good content. Like, the real kind of, like, we would have these conversations about all this stuff, and we would lose it. And then we would try to recreate it, and it never...
So now, we just hit record right when Mark walks in.
I
try to... You know, as you can hear, I'm breathing heavy because I've been setting up our...
He stood up and sat down three times. Now he's breathing.
I did. Hey, you said, my lungs are already small. You know, 5'6" frame.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add about 100 extra pounds and my lungs are like... You know, pushed in.
Like a couple of walnuts in there.
That's exactly right. So let's get to this, okay? Because we decided we weren't going to talk at all.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anything that's happened in your life. You don't know anything that's happened in my life.
This is true. And it was a weird thing to go a month and like, because we usually talk a good bit.
Because there were so many times I wanted to text you
and tell you something. And you would text me like, you're like, you're not going to believe like what such and such did or what so, like, you're not going to believe this. I can't wait to tell you. And then we would be like, oh, but I got to wait, like, because I want your honest, I want your reaction.
I want to see your face. So, first things first, you took your second annual Mark's Midnight Bender down to Orlando.
That's right.
Halloween?
Yeah, we were there for 2 weeks, man. It was great.
So, what all did you do?
We did it all, man. I got something for you. I'll tell you one thing I did. So, I wanted to give it to you live. So that people would be able to see you get it, they would be able to hear you get it.
Oh man!
That you would get the real reaction.
So I've opened up an Ingles bag, and inside the Ingles bag is an HBA Hogan's Beat Shop.
Yeah, it was cool. We went to Hogan's Beat Shop. They had the Mega Powers trunks in there,
I don't know. You have got to be kidding me.
And I know how big of a fan you are of...
I'm going to cry. Mark Whitman got me a signed Hulk Hogan bandana.
Yeah. It's a Hulkamania. I know how big a fan you are of the Hulkster, and I know you collect... And I know you've got, like, the Topps card that you bought, but, like, I figured you would like to have
that. But this is real.
Yes, that is real. That came from Hogan's Beach.
I hope you can see that. Oh, my goodness. Mark Whitman, you are a gentleman and a scholar. I'm going to wear that when we get our matching tuxedos for Christmas. Man, I am truly touched.
And it's even got the little, you know, the little.
This is officially an officially licensed product.
They tried to sell me a certificate of authenticity for an extra 20, and I went, I don't think he's going to be reselling this thing.
No. No, I'm just going to sign it underneath Hollywood Heath Holyfield and double the value.
There you go. There you go.
Mark, thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Wow. You're going to put it on. Oh, that's been in Hulk Hogan's hand, by the way.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to resist the temptation.
No, go ahead and mark out. No,
I should tie it. No, as the true double dropkick show fan, I should do it like this. You know how they tied it. Man, that is great. Oh, my goodness. Man. I'm totally blown away. Totally blown away.
Really?
Man, that's just awesome. That's awesome. So, Hogan's Beach Shop.
Oh, it was awesome, man.
Okay.
So cool, man. Like, they had... they had... Remember when he came to WCW?
Yeah.
And he rode in at the front of that parade in that Viper?
Yeah.
They have that Viper.
No.
In the store. Yeah, remember... And the... his Rocky III Thunderlips costume is in there. Like I said, a pair of the Mega Powers trunks are in there. The Hollywood Hogan motorcycle, the black motorcycle with the blue lightning painted on, it's in there.
Wow.
A bunch of, like, when he was doing the Hollywood Hogan stuff and he had all those custom boots that he would wear, a lot of those are in there.
Good night.
I mean, just, you know, yellow and red trunks and stuff like that all over the place. And... every piece of signed memorabilia you can think of.
Yeah.
And I think, and I could, I mean, you almost think to yourself, man, if, like, because they charge way too much. Like, they had some figures and stuff, and they were like $150.
Right.
For these figures that were signed and stuff. And it's almost like they've priced themselves too high a price point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would think, man, how much did you really pay for those figures?
Yeah.
And if you would just sell them for like half of that, I bet you could just move stuff. Because people were still in there buying stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, how much stuff could you move if you lowered the price on some of this stuff, man? But they had the green WWF belt, you know, the original with the big circle and all the plates. They had one of those in there.
Wow.
Like Winged Eagle stuff, they had the NWO, the big gold belt that was with NWO spray painted on it. I don't know if it was a replica or not. I don't think it was the original because it was a little too shiny.
Right.
To have been the original.
Okay, is it just like a gift shop or is it like a restaurant as well?
No, it is not a restaurant. It's an old 7-Eleven. You can tell by looking at it. It's an old 7-Eleven, but like it's full. They got a bunch of Hogan T-shirts, and it was weird. They had all these Randy Savage stuff signed by Lanny Poffo.
That is weird.
Yeah, it was kind of.
That's weird, folks. You know, if you've been listening to this show since day one, you know there is Mark has coined the phrase "I pay you back in other ways." This is what he means right here.
Yeah,
autographed. I'm just blown away by your kindness and generosity and your friend. Man, here's what's awesome is you know me, you went in that store and you surveyed it and you said, that's the thing. And you knew this is what I would have bought were I there myself.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Because you're going to frame that. Like I know,
I am going to put this in a frame. This is going next. I'm taking out the one next to Bruno, and I'm gonna put this next to Bruno.
Okay, all right.
Man, I don't want anything bad to happen to this. All right.
Yeah, I've been wanting to tell you about that for a month.
I've been holding on to that thing
since I'm longer because I bought it like the second day we were there.
Wow.
We went to the place because we didn't have anything to do that day. And I was like, I want to ride over to Hogan's Beach Shop because like I knew. I was like, I'm going to get Heath an autograph
that's
of Hogan
because awesome,
we're
man.
Down here. I mean, I went for me too. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't buy me anything. I got an NWO sticker mm-hmm. and a Hogan's Beat Shop sticker for my cooler.
Yeah,
I don't think I got anything else, man. Like there was no T-shirts I wanted or anything.
Yeah,
but it had some cool stuff in there, man. Like, it was cool just to see like the Viper and you know all that stuff, man. It's, if you ever down there, like it's really one of those things you
got to go get.
If you're a wrestling fan, you definitely need to go check it out.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go. There's a big conference down there always at the beginning of the year, so I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's like right on International Drive. I mean, you can't. It's right near the big McDonald's.
Did they have a list of like these are the days he's going to be here? Anything like that?
It's on their website.
Okay,
because I talked to the guy who runs the place, and that's what I was asking him. I said, I'm going to be down here for 2 weeks. Are you guys going to announce him? Because he comes in like once every few months.
Yeah.
And they close the store down. But it's like $100. I mean, mm-hmm. you know. But you get into the store and they only sell a few tickets. I mean, yeah. It's not like there's thousands of people there. They'll sell like 100 tickets.
Yeah.
And
so you get more than just a head egg.
Right, right. I think it's a little bit more than that. I think he'll kind of shake your hand and shoot a video and take – I mean, because I've seen some videos that people have shot.
Yeah.
But he said no, he's not going to be here for the next 2 weeks. He said, I actually was just on the phone with him earlier, and we're trying to line something up, but it's probably not going to be for a few weeks. But and he brings in other people. He had like the week before we got there, Ted DiBiase was there.
Okay.
I'm guessing Brutus is not going to be there anytime soon.
No. Yeah. Hey, if you're listening to this executive decision, we're going to put this episode out ASAP. I don't even know what day it is right now, because Tuesday night, November 7th, we're actually hosting a viewing of the Price of Fame documentary on Ted.
Well, you're hosting.
Right.
I won't be there.
On behalf of the Double Drop Kick Show.
I think it adds to my mystique when I don't show up.
I think so, too.
I really do.
No show. But anyway.
I told you from day one, I won't be there.
Right, right. Because you know? So here's what's cool. This is – all right, so I'm trying to work this out. So the movie's at 7. It'll uh-huh. probably be over 8:39. Uh-huh. The Flair documentary's at 10. Uh-huh. I'm trying to work it out with Dave and Buster's for us to do our to go to the movie, go to Dave and Buster's, and I'm going to see if we can watch the Flair deal there.
Who's going with you?
I don't know. I mean, a few people have signed
if it's
up.
It's just you by yourself. Are you going to have a discussion with?
Listen. Do you really have to ask that question? Are you asking if I can have a discussion with myself?
Oh, well, you're a good point.
There you go. So, Hogan's Beat Shop, but tell what else in Orlando?
I mean, just the usual stuff. I mean, I don't want to rehash last year's when we did the same show. I mean, we went to Disney and we went to Animal Kingdom.
You didn't go to Animal Kingdom last year, did you?
No, and we saw, like, we did the safari,
ooh.
And, like, this rhinoceros walked right up to us. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, to
was Heath Slater with him?
No, he wasn't. But it was, like, just to be that close to an animal that powerful. I could have reached out and touched him. Yeah. He was that close. I mean, we were in a bus.
Yeah.
You know, but he was still wandering around. He walked like right. I was like looking down at him and he walked right by the bus that I was on. But I mean, it's not there. It's not enclosed.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it was cool, man. That was and then we like got to see the gorillas and I like gorillas. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
What it is. But
I stood there
and watched the gorillas for a while. You know.
Did you go in any of the scary houses that you didn't do last year? Any new ones?
Well, they were all new.
Okay.
Like, it's always new stuff.
Okay.
I tell you another thing we did that was really, really good was they were having at Epcot, they did, I don't know how many years ago they started doing it, but they started the Food and Wine Festival, and it was kind of a hit.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a week-long thing. Well, then they just basically extended it for like 2 months in the fall. They do this Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah.
So you go, you get like a passport thing, and you just go around the park if you're familiar with Epcot, it's all these different areas of the world.
Yeah.
And basically they would have samples. It wasn't like a meal. It would just be like a little tray.
Like Sam's Club.
Yeah, almost like Sam's Club, except it wasn't free.
Right. Oh, gotcha.
Right. But it would be like $4 or $5.
Okay.
You know? And they would have just different types of food and from that represented that country.
Yeah.
And then they would pair it with a wine or a beer.
Uh-huh.
So that was cool. And like we had a Scotch egg and we had like lamb chops from Australia and creme brulee from France. And
then, wow.
And like there's a place there that sells just these incredible fish and chips.
Yeah.
So we got a big order of fish and chips, and they were so good, we actually went back like 2 days later.
Really?
We had a park hopper pass, and we were like, let's go get some more of those fish and chips. They were so good.
You don't hear that very often when people are about Disney, that, man, this food was so good. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it was cool, man. Just and like they would give you like this 6-ounce cup of beer or something, mm-hmm. and you would, you know, it was not intended to get you drunk or to get you full. It was just intended to give you a sample of
right
what it's like around the world. And so we did that. We did that 2 nights.
But
I mean, we enjoyed it.
But they also gave you a sampling of music.
And they did, yeah. Because did I send you the video?
No.
Of that? Yeah. So like, yeah, they do a concert series. For some reason, when we were down there, Sugar Ray
that's awesome.
Was performing. And we were like, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, because he was like, hey, if you grew up when I grew up, there was one song that represented, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he did the thing. And then they sang Fight for Your Right, by the Beastie Boys. And like, so it was just this bizarre thing to be like eating, you know, apple strudel from Germany. listening to Sugar Ray sing Fight for Your Right to Party in like 100 degree heat down in Orlando on a Tuesday night. You know what I mean? It was just this weird kind of surreal moment. But Epcot, man, we rode Soarin'. Have you ever ridden Soarin'? Yeah. It's just an incredible. It's just an incredible ride, man. Like you go in and you sit down on these things, there's like 3 rows of seats.
Right.
And they tell you, like, if you're afraid of heights, you don't need to ride this because it, like, it raises straight up into the air, all 3 rows. The first time we rode it, we sat, like, in the middle row. So what? But the next time, they put us in the front row. And the front row, actually, by the way the ride is designed, turns into the top row when they bring them all up and stand them up vertical. And I didn't realize how high we actually were in the air, but I was sitting on the edge. And like looked over as we were going up, and like, you know, as you know, I'm not a fan of heights.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, poopy. You know what I mean? We're really high up. I said to my wife, but the whole gimmick of it is it's like a curved screen. So they raise you up and push you out into the screen. And you're flying over the world. I mean, you're hundreds of feet in the air like you're on a hang glider. And it look and then the thing kind of just barely moves.
Yeah.
But and it'll dip down like and run you into the water and comes back up and you go over the plains of the savannah in Africa and fly over the top of these elephants that are running.
See, those are the kind of rides that make me sick. The ones with the screen.
Oh man,
those throw me. Now, if I took a whatchamacallit,
a Dramamine.
That is what they call it. Yeah.
But it was like they took you up the Eiffel Tower. Like you start flying towards the thing, and it kind of the seat tilts back, and it just like you. It's so realistic that as you top the Eiffel Tower, you lift your feet up.
Oh wow!
I mean, it felt that real, and it was just it was an incredible ride. We did we rode Test Track.
Okay.
Like you design a Chevrolet.
Yeah.
And it takes you through all the testing of, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, let's test out the speed. And it launches you. And then the wall flies open and you go flying outside at like 70 miles an hour. And it just starts whipping you around this building. And then you're like testing the brakes. It was really cool, man.
Yeah, that's all. Did you do Epcot last year?
No, we didn't. We didn't do it. We just, like, one day, the first day we went to Disney, we knocked three parks out in one day. Like, we went Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, and Epcot.
See,
the next day we just did Magic Kingdom and Epcot.
See, I went to Epcot in my early 20s, and I didn't get it. And I've also heard it's not great if you've got kids. But I've heard that, like, people our age, that's what Epcot is.
Yeah, Epcot's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. Like, Spaceship Earth,
mm-hmm.
that big metal ball when you first go in.
Yeah.
We rode it twice.
Yeah.
And it's not a thrill ride, but it's, like, you're indoors for, like, 20, 25 minutes.
There you go.
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon when it's hot, you go get on Spaceship Earth and you just sit there and ride and look, and it's...
Now, one thing you mentioned you were going to do down there in Orlando, don't know if you got to do it. You were going to go to one of those theaters where you can eat and see it. Were you able to do that?
We did not get to do that.
No. Okay, well, all right, that's all we got.
Yeah, I mean, you just, you want to do that stuff, but you can't do everything.
But then you're like, I got theaters at home, but I don't have Epcot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you did get to see. Have you seen the new
one? Oh, absolutely. I've seen it.
What are your thoughts?
It was really good. I mean, it was not like disturbing, or it wasn't this terrifying movie or whatever, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the better horror films I've seen in a few years.
Yeah. Did you see where they did the beginning in Lego?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I enjoyed it, man. I thought the guy who played Pennywise, I mean, he had big shoes to fill. And,
right.
I mean, considering that the original movie was a TV miniseries.
Yeah.
And the acting in it is not that great. Tim Curry was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So it's just weird that there would be a miniseries and they would say this guy's got big shoes to fill.
Right.
Something that just came on TV.
Right.
And he knocked it out of the park, man. It was just incredible. I saw the new Leatherface. It was okay. I mean, it was.
Yeah. Have you seen Jigsaw yet?
No, because I'm not a huge Saw fan. That's just like gore for the sake of gore.
Yeah.
And I'll watch it like when it comes out on DVD. I'm sure I'll see it, but I like psychological horror and stuff like that, and that's just torture. Yeah. Torture porn.
Yeah, we're recording this on November the 2nd. So Drake and I are going to see Thor tonight, 7
right.
o'clock. Pretty excited about that. I actually ordered a movie pass. Depending on where you look, they changed the rule that now you can see the same movie more than once. So I thought, man, November and December. Now, however, if I cancel it, let's say I go see Thor a bunch of times, Justice League a bunch of times, Last Jedi a bunch of times, cancel it in January, I cannot renew it for 9 months.
Really?
Because they don't want you to buy it during the summer and just see. They don't want you to buy it during a hot movie season and then cancel it. So,
right.
Yes, like I signed up for it last Wednesday, and then Monday they changed all their terms of service. Because, I mean, I guess they know it's... I don't know how they know that it's the holiday movie season coming up, but, you know, maybe because it's the holidays.
You don't know how they know.
I was being facetious.
Okay, good.
Give me a little bit of credit there. There was something else you texted me you wanted to talk about.
Oh, the Andrew Dice Clay thing?
Yeah. Is that suitable for public consumption, or does that need to be a patrons-only episode? Speaking of which, while you're thinking about that, hey, you can become a patron of the Double Dropkick Show by going to patreon.com/doubledropkick, or you can go on the show notes, whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening to the podcast at doubledropkick.com. You can click on the link. And what is that? For $1 a month, you get to become a member of our private patrons-only Facebook group where we post... we post news in there that we don't post anywhere else. We post videos in there we don't post anywhere else. That is the one place you really get access to Mark if you want to ask questions. If you give $10 a month, you're going to get a signed memorabilia that does have a certificate of authenticity for the most part. But it's just a great way to support the show, help us pay some of our bills, and we're building a community. Become part of the community. Our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, has over 90,000 members. So it gets kind of loud in there sometimes, but in the private group, in the patrons group, you know, just a really, you know, really good conversations, really good questions. So, yeah, you can do that. Now, Andrew Dice Clay. It sounds like this may need to be patrons.
No, I don't think so. It's weird because it's like kind of personal, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's like I said, I wanted to talk about it.
Well, maybe we can talk about it at lunch.
And then, like, I was like, do I really want to, like, expose myself like that? Like, that was the thing, like, after I said it, that I wanted to talk about it. But I will, because we brought it up now.
Well, we don't have to. If you don't, listen.
I'm not, like, uncomfortable talking about it. It's just, all right, you have to start with the thing where I was, like, telling you, like, Andrew Dice Clay had me revisit, like, my life.
Yeah.
From 20 years ago. So I was like, you know how like suggested things pop up on YouTube?
Yeah.
So I'm just watching some YouTube videos and whatever, and it pops up this Andrew Dice Clay interview.
Yeah.
From recently.
Yeah.
Like where he's, you know, he's got this new show on Showtime.
Yeah.
Well, not new. I think it's right. This is going into the second season. Where he's playing like a fictionalized version of himself, which is like he's playing a fictionalized version of a fictionalized character, because like the whole joke with Andrew Dice Clay is that he's not that, like,
yeah.
He's making fun of the guy that he comes across as being.
Yeah.
Like that was, it was like, it is one of the finest pieces of satire and performance art that has ever existed.
Yeah.
Because he's a Jewish guy. He's not an Italian. And
that's funny.
And like that's the joke that people missed.
You're right.
And then he worked himself into a shoot.
Right.
Where he kind of did become that guy.
Okay. So people may be listening, and I don't want to derail you, but you just said worked himself into a shoot.
Uh-huh.
For people who are listening, and a lot of people think they know what that means, what does that mean?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, he started out. Ahmed Johnson is another guy, like, wrestling-related that you would hear this about, where they start believing their own hype.
Oh, gotcha.
And you become, whereas with Dice Clay, he was just Andrew Clay, and Dice Clay was this character. It was this gimmick.
Yeah.
And then the gimmick took off.
Kind of like Ric Flair.
Right, exactly. That's a good
yeah.
So then it takes off, and then he actually kind of becomes that guy.
Yeah,
like he becomes the guy that he was making fun of, because he, like, if you weren't around, I mentioned it to a friend of mine at work the other day who's like 23, 24. Right. I was like, "Have you heard of Andrew Dice Clay?" He's like, "Huh?
Who?" Oh, goodness gracious!
I was like, "This guy, he was a rock star." Comedian for like a couple of years.
Yeah, he was.
He was huge. He sold out Madison Square Garden. If you don't know, not only did he sell out Madison Square Garden, there was a sold out crowd saying the punchlines to his jokes along with him.
Yeah.
Like, when has that ever happened with a comedian where they were, as you would say the punchline, they say it along with the guy. Like, he did the nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
You know, Little Boy Blue and, you know, stuff like that. But I'm not going to say because he needed the money, because I don't want to, you know, offend you or anything. But anyway.
Yeah.
So if you don't know who Dice Clay is, like, you should check him out, because the fact of the matter is, like, that would never happen today.
No.
Like, if you should do go back and listen to some of the stuff he says and the stuff that he talks about. Like, I think an awesome YouTube video would be to find like some of these 23-year-old snowflakes and make them and like let them listen to Andrew Dice Clay and watch and just film the reaction.
Yeah.
Of hearing some of the stuff, because dude, you could not say that stuff today,
man. Unless you were running for president.
Right, and then they would love you. So, yeah, I guess you could say that stuff nowadays. But it's just so weird. Well, you could say, like, you couldn't say it in, like, people right. embrace it and you sell it. Well, maybe you could sell. You could evidently say that stuff and be president. So I would. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're.
But they
right, because the same people who boycotted Andrew Dice Clay are the same people that voted for the president.
I know, isn't that weird?
It's so weird,
isn't
man.
That strange the way the world works.
It's crazy,
and
man.
They're not really like that far apart on the things that they say. If you really think about some of the stuff that the president has said,
no, you're right. No,
about grabbing women and stuff like that. Like they're right. not that far apart. You know,
right, right.
So anyway. I watched this video
yeah.
on YouTube, and I was like, you know, I got an Andrew Dice Clay CD somewhere.
Right.
I wonder if it's as offensive as I remember.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go get this Andrew Dice Clay CD out, because we got, like, at the house, my wife and I are from that era when CDs blew up, as you are. So, I mean, we got drawers full of CDs,
yeah.
you know, at our house, and... So I go in there and I start flipping through them and I find the Andrew Dice Clay CD, but right beside it is this other CD of this artist that probably nobody's heard of, but her name's Patty Griffin.
Yeah.
Have you heard of her?
I think I have.
Okay. So she played like with an acoustic guitar and she would sing. And anyway, so like I saw this Patty Griffin CD beside it. And it was so weird to pick this CD up, and it just transported me back like 21 years.
Wow.
Like without even listening to it.
Yeah.
All these feelings.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Rushing back that I don't know what it was about this CD.
Yeah.
But I listened to it over and over and over again because yeah. it was like at this weird – this is where it gets like, I guess, personal. It yeah. was at this weird – place in life where I dropped out of college,
yeah,
and I got a job, and now I was just working, and yeah. it was like this, there's this moment, I think, and you either get past it or you don't,
right,
in life where you realize I'm not a kid anymore, like childhood is over,
right,
that is done, like yeah. I've just like my life
yeah
is basically is getting up and going to work and
yeah,
like it's this huge thing that you undertake.
Oh, right,
and,
right.
and not only that, at the time I was living a very solitary lifestyle.
Yeah.
Where I had not met my wife yet. And I was just working.
Yeah.
And I wrestled.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it. So I trained, I went to the gym, I went and did the wrestling thing, and I worked a job, and I was by myself, like, eating pasta from Fazoli's for supper every night.
Yeah.
You know? And that was it. Like, that yeah. was life, man.
Yeah. That Is this when life. You were living in Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was living in an apartment in Anderson, and it was just a solitary life I was leading.
Yeah.
And it was kind of lonely.
Yeah,
I guess. And anyway, something about this CD at the time, I don't think it was even the words she was saying. It was the tone of the
yeah.
the stuff. I just played it over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It was weird. I listened to it again, like over the last few days. I've kind of like popped that CD in the CD player, and I was like, man, like I was probably depressed, man.
This is, you know. You could search the world over. You're not going to find two more distinctly different CDs than Patty Griffin and Andrew Dice Clay.
This is true.
The fact that you had them maybe in your drawer.
Maybe Andrew Dice Clay and Bill Gaither. Maybe for those two would have been a little different. Or Jimmy Swagger.
Oh, good.
But they're like, they got similar hobbies.
Yeah, there you go. So. That's ridiculous. but yeah, I mean... Dude, that's crazy, man. Now you've got me wanting to listen to Patty Griffin.
I mean, but it's like, it's not, it was so weird. Like, as I popped it in the CD player, I was riding around yesterday, and you just are listening to it, like, man, like, why, what, because I can't even find that headspace anymore that would,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, I felt it when I saw it,
yeah.
but then when I started listening to it,
yeah.
I'm just like, it's, you know. I don't know. It'll be 20 more years before I listen to that thing again when I accidentally find it, I think.
Yeah. You know, a similar thing. All right, so did you ever listen to the Andrew Dice Clay?
I did. It's actually, well, I finished it up earlier on the way over here.
Yeah.
I popped in, like, I found all these old comedy albums that I had together, and I popped in. I'm listening to George Carlin right now.
Nice.
Like, his greatest hits. And because, like, Carlin and Pryor are my two favorite comedians. And I've got both of them's, you know, greatest hit compilation stuff. And I listened to Pryor's a month or two ago. He, like, I just, you know, it's weird. Like, you wonder, like, where does Dice Clay rank with those all-time greats?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, but, like, I don't think he touches Pryor. Nobody touches, to me, Pryor or Carlin, because they had, like, Carlin is, like, the straight shooter.
Yeah.
Like, these are the people that need to be killed, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just, like, that kind of stuff. And Pryor, like, everything is just a sad story, and he makes it funny. Like, to me, he's the king as far, like, Pryor is on a different level than everybody else. But like, Dice Clay, man, he burned, like, white. He was like the Stone Cold Steve Austin of comedy, where he he probably, you know, he was just white hot for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But he didn't really stand the test of time.
See, I found when his Ford Fairlane movie came out that it came out maybe 18 months too late.
Well, it wasn't.
It didn't come out, like, right at the peak of his deal.
Right. Well, it was supposed to be. That movie should have got a lot of hype.
Right.
But the guys who were putting it out got cold feet because they were getting death threats from, like, the some gay rights organizations because of some of the stuff he was saying.
Do you know where, ironically, I saw most of the Ford Fairlane advertisements?
Church parking lots.
Comic books. Comic books are full of Ford Fairlane.
It was a graphic novel or something, wasn't it?
I just remember seeing the full page ad, and he was standing there, and it had the. I mean, I can see the ad in my.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
In my mind right
and it's
now.
It's weird because, like, I want to watch that movie now, and I can't.
Never. Have you seen it before?
Oh yeah,
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I've absolutely seen it.
Never seen it. I'm at that point to where, if you're telling me we're going to watch a movie, and I'm like, well, how long is it? And you're like, well, it's 1 hour and 33 minutes. I got to balance that.
I agree.
I'm on the side of life where I'm counting the. I got so many hours left, and I wouldn't want, you know.
I agree.
That's
why I don't watch wrestling anymore.
Life's
not good.
Tell the people.
Life's too short to watch bad wrestling.
That's right.
And I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. Why would I waste my time watching it, man?
Right.
They clearly are not interested in doing anything that the fans want to see.
Right.
The fans care about, because if they were, they would. And based on everything I've seen, why should I waste my time and money and energy and effort on the WWE? They don't care.
Yeah.
They're not interested in doing what I want to see.
You announced that you'd canceled the WWE Network earlier. I, this week, took them off my DVR schedule. Took SmackDown and Raw off my DVR schedule. And I didn't do that. I'm not saying that to make a statement. I'm just saying I wasn't going back and watching it.
Right.
Mine was a very practical thing because my wife is ill. She stays at home. The DVR is filling up, and I had to make a choice.
Right.
Like, we're either going to record Judge Judy 3 times a day or I'm going to keep Raw and SmackDown. I deleted Raw and SmackDown.
I'd rather watch Judge Judy.
I'm not watching it, but somebody's recording it. Let me just tell you, if you hit record Judge Judy, new and reruns, your DVR is going to fill up pretty dang fast.
I bet it will, man. I bet it will.
So you were talking about Patty Griffin. I had a similar experience to you, which is weird to me.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to Bruce Springsteen's autobiography that he reads. And it's like 18 hours long. And I'm telling you, I have been transported.
He's a great storyteller.
Because I could not imagine reading this book. Because if it's written the way he's reading it, it would not, it'd be like run-on sentences and sentence. But the way he tells it, it's like, it resonated with me. Because here's a guy who deals, he talks about his anxiety, talks about depression, talks about his upbringing, and it's like, oh my goodness. And I listen to it, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm not alone. Like, mm-hmm. he said so many things, it's like, man, I felt just like that. The difference between, there's a couple of differences between Bruce Springsteen and me.
Just a couple?
I'm going to say the top two, okay? Number one, he's talented. Number one.
Okay, okay.
Number two.
Hugely successful in his field.
Okay, that would be third. That would be third.
That comes in third. Behind.
Step one, talent. Yeah. Number two. He turns all that negativity into this creative outlet.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And third, profit.
Yeah.
Step three, hugely successful. Yeah. But it was really challenging to me because it's like, you know, you realize, oh my goodness, I didn't turn what could have been a creative deal. So that made me even more depressed. But it's a great book. I mean, I'll...
Did you listen to, not read, you posted on Facebook about some songs, and I posted the YouTube video of him singing The River. Did you listen to the thing, like the story that he tells at the beginning? You didn't, did you?
I haven't had a chance to do... the book's 18 hours long. I don't have Facebook on my phone anymore. You yelled at me last night, like, you're not replying to anyone. I don't have Facebook on my phone anymore. I check Facebook once a day. I check Twitter once a day.
Well, I posted this great video. You were like, oh, tell me the best songs with this and that and the other, and I give you gold, and you didn't even listen to it. Why do you ask stupid questions and ask for people to tell you good songs if you're not going to listen to the song?
Because I did listen to the River, okay? What I was looking for, and I will go back and watch it, but at the time what I was looking for, I was looking for song titles to go to iTunes to buy and download the music because I was creating a playlist of that style of music.
Give me that name, Bandana, back. No, so anyway, okay, he tells this story at the beginning of the song about him and his father.
Mm-hmm.
I seemed like I've told you this before. Maybe I have. Maybe it's just I listened to it so many times growing up, man. But he grew his hair out long back when that wasn't a cool thing to do and whatnot. And he said, like, his dad would just, man, when the army gets a hold of you, they're going to make a man out of you. And this and that and the other. And he had a motorcycle wreck.
Oh.
And he was laid up in the bed. And when he was, his father brought somebody in and they cut all his hair off.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get out of the bed. Have I told you this before?
No, but I'd listened to his book where he talks about all of this in detail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So then, like, he cuts his hair off and then he gets drafted.
Yeah.
And then he fails his physical, and he comes in, and after his father all those times telling him when the army gets a hold of you, they're going to make a man out of you, he walked in, told his father that he failed his physical, and his dad said, that's good.
Yeah.
That's such and the way he tells it, like he tells the story, but he's like playing the guitar while he's doing it, and there's a little harmonica, you know, going on in the background. But it's just incredible, man.
It made all of this made me want to go see his Broadway show, which
he's got a Broadway show.
Yeah, right now he's on Broadway, and it's just him telling stories and singing songs for like 2 hours.
Oh yeah, I'd like to see that, man.
It's just really cool to hear because I think when you're growing, I was going to ask you this. Okay, I don't think when you're in high school or in your 20s. I don't know that you really get Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I don't think you do either.
But at 40.
But I think you get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you listen to a song like The River when you're 16 and it's a good song. When you listen to The River at 42, you get it.
Yeah.
You know, and you understand how those things could happen in life and you know, how you could get those kind of, man, I always said like the beauty of Bruce Springsteen was if you listen to a lot of his stuff, it sounds happy. But it's not.
No.
You hear the music and it sounds happy. Glory Days sounds like a happy song. But listen to what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's like people that are stuck in arrested development.
Yeah.
And can't move on in life. They're still hung up on the glory days of high school.
No, to me, no other song you know, represents that than Born in the USA. Because it's like, it's born in the, yeah, man.
Even like Reagan used Born in the USA. Yeah, and I'm sure he talked about that in the book.
Yeah, and it's like,
that is not what that song is about.
This is like an, not...
It's an anti-American song.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's a protest song.
Yeah.
I don't think anti-American is, because it, like, it's pro-American and that you can protest, I think, yes, in this country. But it's a protest song.
Yeah.
You know? It's a great song, man.
Yeah.
It's like Hungry Heart. If you, sounds like a great, sounds so happy, but yeah, the first lines is, got a wife and kid in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride and never went back.
Yeah.
Just abandoned his family.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a happy song.
He talks about something in the book that this current generation is never going to get. Because, like I just said, I asked for song ideas, and I'm just buying individual songs. When Bruce Springsteen, he was putting an album together. Yeah. The album, and he, not just the album, but the order of the songs. It is telling a story.
Oh, yeah.
Who does that anymore, you know? And... it made me want to go back and just, you know, cause I have like his greatest hits. I have a lot of his newer, a lot of his newer CDs, but it makes me want to go back and listen to, Born to Run straight through. Makes me want to listen to, The River straight through. Makes me want to even go back to Greetings from Asbury Park, which is him just more of a solo album. It's just, man, it's just,
I have those on vinyl.
Just incredible stuff, you know. And but yeah, like when I try to listen to Bruce Springsteen, now my kids are like, "Dad, what is this?" And it's like, one day you'll.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my hope is that maybe for them it's not Springsteen, but maybe it's whoever it is. I hope they have a Springsteen like.
Oh, they won't.
Yeah, it's
There's
weird.
Nobody
it's,
like that anymore. No, yeah. It's I don't know, man. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are artists,
yeah,
that are making really good music, but I'm just not finding them.
I don't know. He
can't imagine that it's like, you know, Little Wayne is saying anything that, you know, will stand the test. Eminem, like, who I've always been a fan of,
yeah,
and I don't like Donald Trump,
right.
But when he comes, I also don't need somebody who lives in a gated community talking down to me and telling me that if I can either be a fan of theirs or support him, I don't need that from a celebrity. I don't care who it is. I don't. Right. I'm like, who the hell do you, any of you, think you are to tell me how I'm supposed to believe, especially when you go to bed under night behind the walls of a gated community?
Right.
I don't. And I'm not advocating building a wall. I'm just saying I don't need celebrities telling me how to feel about stuff, whether I agree with them or I don't. Just sing your stupid songs.
Right.
And make your stupid movies.
Right.
And understand that – and play you're a millionaire throwing a ball around.
Right.
Please just do that. You know, like, who are any of you – to tell any of the rest, who am I to tell anybody how they should believe about anything? And I'm not, but, you know.
I think, you know, I saw a video. I was trying to figure out how to share it with you. And this dude was talking about how all the news is trying to just separate us right and left.
Absolutely.
And he said, what you really need to be looking down is top and bottom.
Yes.
And all, you know, like you just said, that's really,
it's a bunch of millionaires trying to tell us how we should believe and how we should feel and how we should think about stuff. And I don't need that. I don't need anybody to tell me how to feel about stuff. They're not better than me. They just got more money than me.
Right.
They're not smarter than me. Have you ever listened to some of these idiot actors? Some of these idiot athletes.
Right.
They are morons.
Right.
They are morons, and they don't know anything.
Yeah.
They know nothing.
Yeah.
About anything.
Yeah.
They are stupid people that, in most cases, don't have to buy their own groceries, don't have to go get their own oil change, don't have to put, you know what I mean? And who are any of them to tell the rest of us, left or right,
yeah,
what we should be believing. I don't need Kelsey Grammer telling me how I need to feel about nothing. Right. And I don't need Eminem telling me how I need to feel about stuff. None of them. Just shut the hell up and do your thing.
So that, to me, is what's so great about Springsteen, is even though he has gotten political, he's not. His songs are about how people already feel. He's not right. telling you this. He's writing about, you know, things that are already there. And that, mm-hmm. to me, is they're not. He's not trying to insert
Listen,
a feeling in there.
I don't have a problem with somebody writing a song about how they feel.
Right.
That's one thing. I have a problem with Eminem drawing a line
right.
and saying, if you agree with this, then don't buy my albums anymore. Well, right. I don't agree with that, and I'm still not going to buy your albums anymore. How right. about that, Marshall?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I won't do either. I do agree with what you say about the man, and I'm still not going to buy your albums because I don't need you telling me how to feel about stuff.
Right.
And I don't – listen – whether I agree with somebody standing for a national anthem or not, I don't want to live in a country where we force somebody to.
Right.
That's not freedom. The day the president gets to tell somebody whether they have to stand for the national anthem, we no longer have a president. We have a dictator.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I don't, you know, but God. That's hard. So, I wish more people just acknowledge that they're not easy answers.
No, I agree.
To these questions. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So for me right now, I feel like being a pastor, the default a lot of times from Christians is to give an easy answer. And I think we're in a culture now, the easy thing to do would just. I feel like culture wants to have a conversation, but I feel like there's so many forces at play trying to keep us from having a conversation. I think whether you agree,
I think the smart people want to have a conversation.
Right, right. Yeah. And more and more the people who are just followers and not. You know, they're gonna do what Eminem tells them to do, or they're gonna do what Trump tells them to do, yeah. or they're gonna believe. Like, to me, you know, I tell our church all the time, like, listen, you know, I'm trying to preach the truth, but don't just take my word for it. It's your responsibility to go and make and you know, not just listen to me tell you about the scripture. Go read the scripture for yourself and say, well, Pastor, that's not what it's really talking about here. That's not what it says. But most people just want to be – I don't care. It's not just Christians. It's all levels of society. They just want to be spoon-fed stuff. Nobody wants to, like
– Critical thinking, man. Nobody wants to
– Yeah, so let me ask you – so the Patty Griffin deal, all right? As I'm listening to the Bruce Springsteen, I'm thinking back. When you're in your 20s, you're in the – for me, okay, just what I'm going through now the last month, listening to all this, thinking about so many things, and I think back to my 20s, I wish I could go back and I would say, you're right to be searching, but you're searching in the wrong place. Go over here. Search for this. Search over – you know, dig over here. This is where you need to be digging.
Right.
But my personality type is to have deep regret and think about that a lot. So that's I've been kind of wallowing in that.
I think that's what the way most of us are. But I don't have like deep regrets about that. Like it all worked out. So I mean, because I said 21 years, because 20 years ago, like a few days ago, my wife and I went on our first date.
Wow.
And it was a cool thing, man. Like, I mean, I had gone from, like, when I was in school, somebody said this, somebody that I went to college with the other day just said to me, like everybody knew who you were.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize, like, it was not, oh, I'm super popular in college, but
right.
it was just everybody knew who I was.
Right.
And I had a lot of friends, and I was, you know, always running around with somebody and whatnot. And then, like, you leave that behind.
Yeah.
And you go, like, I went to work on a farm.
Yeah.
By myself.
What were you doing?
It was like there was this doctor had a hobby farm.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a ranch like your dad has. I mean, it wasn't that kind of thing. This was a guy.
Yeah.
That his one day a week off, or two, like he liked to get out there and play with 10 cows and a couple of horses.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like raising them to sell them for meat, or he wasn't milking them. He just wanted to play farm.
He didn't have a friend to do a podcast with, so he had
right, exactly. Like that was his hobby. But like the whole rest of the time, somebody had to keep that up, and he had the disposable income to pay me to keep it up. And like I cut the grass, and he had, I don't know, it was like 75 acres, and like 8 or 9 of it was front yard and backyard that had to be mowed. And
oh my!
And he had horses and cows and dogs and goats and sheep. I mean, he had all the, you know, and it was like 7 or 8 cows and 4 or 5 sheep. You know what I mean? It was that kind of farm. Yeah. I mean, it was just
he had a petting zoo.
Right, that's exactly what exactly. It was just a hobby for him, which is cool, man. Like he wasn't hurting anything. And that's right. You know. But anyway, he had to have somebody to feed the cows in the morning and put the hay out. So that was me. And that's what I did. So I'm by myself.
Wow. Know?
Like all the time. And then I was like, well, this is kind of a dead end.
Yeah.
Thing. And he was cool. Like he was a really good guy. He said, man, you got a lot of potential. And I think a lot of you. And if I let you, you'll work out here the rest of your life. And you'll do this from now on, I can tell. And I can't have that on my conscience, so you're fired.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He says, man, you're too young to get bogged down, stuck doing something like this forever. You can do better. Yeah. Took me to breakfast, and that's how he fired me.
Wow.
He said, I feel a responsibility for you. And
How long had you worked there?
Like a year, year and a half. And it was kind of he was just helping me get.
Yeah.
I dropped out of school and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, he was just helping me out. He was doing me a solid because he needed somebody just to kind of do that.
Yeah.
But he actually had like a full-time guy that he was looking for. And that was kind of the deal. Like, I was not going to be that guy because he was looking for somebody to run his his money. And, and that was not going to be me.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't. But, yeah. So then, like, I went to work, and, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. I never knew you worked on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on a farm, never worked on a farm.
I believe it. You've yet to, like, do any serious work one day in your life, have you? You pretty much, I don't understand what you've got to be depressed about. You don't even have calluses on your hands.
I'm 5'6".
This is true. Yeah, point took him.
Mark's like, everybody at school knew me. I'm like, yeah, if Bigfoot walked in, everybody would notice him too.
Yeah.
Man, it's always great to catch up, man. We're like an hour into this, and we have talked about a little bit of everything. So if this is the first episode you've listened to, the heart of the show, the foundation of the show is the relationship between Mark and I.
Yep. It's interesting. Like, I don't want to cut you off, but I'm going to do it anyway. We had kind of been texting back and forth about, like, what can we do to – and I've said it from the first day almost. Man, like, I think that you and me are the core of what we do, and I don't think it matters if we talk about wrestling or not.
Yeah.
You know?
For the longest time, I felt pressure. I don't know if you did. I felt pressure to, man, I got to watch the current product. I got to watch WWE. Got to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. But when we started the podcast, that's not what we absolutely didn't want to talk about the current product that much. And I don't feel that pressure at all anymore.
I've never felt that pressure.
Like just the other day, watched Starrcade 84, and I saw Bruce Mitchell was commenting on some of your tweets because he likes you better than he likes me. But I wanted to ask him some questions about Starrcade 84 because I was like, if Starrcade 84 went on TV today, all these fans are like, man, WWE's terrible. We hate it. They'd crap on Starrcade 84.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, they would totally crap on it. But anyway, I think one thing we wanted to, one thing in our texting was so many wrestling podcasts are so negative. I was listening to I'm in a Facebook group now that's just podcasters, just trying to figure out how to become better podcasters. And so I'm just you want to listen to your competition, and I'm just listening to some of them, and just like the tone is like, oh man, that's just, you know, just it's like there's so much negativity in the world. Like, why would I want to contribute to that?
Well, I think it just permeates, man. I think we're just in a negative place.
It's an echo chamber
in life right now. I really do. I think I was, you know, this is like sort of on the subject, but way off. I was talking to a guy one time about like spirituality and magic, and really specifically the supernatural, and how, you know, you would hear even in the Bible, or you know, down in South America, where you hear the voodoo and the hoodoo, and how, like, when a society agrees that they believe in that supernatural power, then it actually works.
Right.
And I think that that's what's happened with the negativity in our country.
Yeah.
That it has, people are just so negative about our president.
Yeah.
And not just that, like, he's like this weird guy. So I heard somebody else saying this the other day, so it's not an original thought. He's like this weird guy that only points out the negatives. He tells you he's going to fix it, but he doesn't offer the solution for how.
Yeah.
Oh, it sucks, and it's going to be great when I get done fixing it. Well, how are you going to fix it? Look, the way I'm going to fix it is going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And trust me, it'll be awesome. That's what I do. I fix things.
Yeah.
Well, how, like, when are you going to fix it? Oh, it's coming. And when it happens, like he doesn't do anything. It's just talk. He is all talk.
Yeah.
And it's just, he is so negative.
Yeah.
About everything.
Like, yeah.
Everything, like, can't be bad.
Yeah.
And I think it has just enveloped our country. Like, and not just him, like, the Republicans are really negative. The people on the right are really negative about the people on the left now. And the people on the left, who have always kind of been kind of cool, are like on the attack now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just creating this thing in this country, and it's like a powder keg, man.
Yeah.
And it's gonna blow at some point.
Whether and I tell people this all the time, I don't care if you're this far alt-right Nazi or the far left Antifa, they're the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Gain power by violence,
right?
And I think, you know, to me, and again, I do believe in the supernatural. I believe that, you know, Satan is, I mean, the Bible calls him the father of lies. So when you have, I mean, you think about it. Every day people are believing false news stories. There's this story that goes around Facebook where, and you can insert any celebrity. Ashton Kutcher said this about people from Anderson, South Carolina, and his car break is a story about his car breaking down and people help him with his car. And man, these people are great. And people are always like, hey man, did you hear what Ashton Kutcher said about our town? And there's a thousand of these stories that are satire, that are false. No one can discern the truth in our society anymore. And listen, if you think turning on the news is going to show you the truth, like, they're all, like, they make money off a lie. Oh, okay, we're going off on a tangent.
Absolutely. No.
But they're all making money off of lies because, listen, if America was peaceful tomorrow, people would be outside spending time with their families. They'd be taking their sons fishing. They would be enjoying life. But as long as there's divisiveness, as long as there's negativity, people are going to be watching the news, be like, oh, you know what happened. So it pays the news to even drum up the negativity. Man. So it's just,
I mean, well, it's like, you know, I think we've talked about this before. I mean, growing up, the local news came on at 6:30, yeah, and the evening news came on at 7, and that was it.
Right.
So, like, right, everything had to be, like, here's what happened today. But yes, here's the main, yes, here's the highlights.
Yeah.
But now you got 30 channels that are 24 hours a day, and they got to fill it, and they bring all these people in who are so-called experts.
Who've never done anything.
Right. What is that? What makes you an expert that you get to go on TV and talk about these things? How do I know that you know what you say you know?
Yeah.
Why are you an expert?
Yeah. Mel Kiper Jr. I mean, this is like the he's supposed to be this expert football analysis. He's wrong every year. He'll say, man, this guy's going to be a great quarterback. Guy's terrible. It's like, how can you be all these people, these experts who said, oh, yeah, Hillary's winning the election in a landslide. How do these people have a job?
That's what I'm saying.
How do these people – and do you know how they have a job? Because all their friends – it's like – okay. Spoiler alert. Okay. The rich – are just hiring their friends.
Yeah.
They're just hiring their friends, and they're keeping this circle. I don't know why I'm doing this on the dry erase board, but they're just – that's how they still have a job.
And they're all in it together, man. Like they are laughing.
Yes.
I don't care if you're far left, you're far right, or you're in the middle.
Yeah.
They're all getting together over drinks at night and laughing at us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're keeping us stirred up against each other because they don't want us – on the same page.
What the wrestling business used to be great at,
uh-huh,
and can't do anymore is what the real world is great at.
Yes.
Like, what we need for the real world to bring kayfabe with us.
Right, man. You just need somebody to do a shoot interview and expose the business, man.
Don't.
And they try, and then they kill them.
Right. That's so true. That's so true. Listen, yeah. Oh man, we could do a series on conspiracy. Listen to me. This is my opinion on conspiracy theories. They're neither conspiracy nor theories.
Well, I know you believe some things that I think are a bit far fetched, and I'm not just talking about.
Give me a break.
Your religion, but like. Like, I think that there's some truth to a lot of the conspiracy stuff out there. I don't subscribe to that nobody really got shot in Las Vegas. I think if you're, like, you don't believe that, right?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Good. Like, you know, I don't subscribe. And I think the problem is they lump stuff together. Like,
that's right.
If you're a person that kind of questions the thing, then they try to lump you in with the people that believe that these mass shootings didn't happen.
Right.
When clearly they did.
Yeah.
That's what sucks about kind of being a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, you get lumped in with everybody. With the Tom DeLonges of the world that are...
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's like the lead singer for... Is it Blink 182? But he's like a huge UFO conspiracy guy. And I'm pretty confident when I listen to him talk that he's one of the people that they use to spread disinformation.
Oh, yeah. Listen. And that may be the difference between Bruce. We talked about all these artists. It may be the difference between Bruce Springsteen and all these other artists. Bruce Springsteen's is kind of a self-made man. All these other people were brought in and they're. You're telling me somebody didn't say, hey, Eminem, here, you need to. You tell me he on his own, he decided he's going to.
Well, I mean, on his own, he decided a few years ago to stand on a stage with Trump.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Where was that at?
I don't know.
Well, hey, we're.
I mean, have you listened to Joe Rogan's podcast?
No, I need to, though.
Yeah, he like, exposes Hollywood. I mean, it's...
Listen, oh, goodness gracious.
Like, he talks all about, like, he said these that they just... like you have to believe a certain way. He said, like, it's like Hollywood's full of these people that don't even know what they believe.
Right. They're just all in an echo chamber together.
Because, like, he said, you, if you're going to get ahead, like, you have to share the same opinions as the people that are making the decisions.
Yeah.
And they're, like, ultra-liberal. So he's like, all these people, they don't even know what they believe. They just parrot what they've been told to believe by their publicist. And they don't know what they believe.
Yeah.
All they care about is getting more acting jobs. Like, that is it. Like, yeah, that's all they care about. And I mean, we, you know, back to that Harvey Weinstein thing. If you have a problem, I'm not saying that he didn't abuse his power. I know we talked about it at the beginning. Right. Absolutely, he did. But, like, you can't knock him and call Roman Polanski a genius.
That's right.
How? And that's kind of what bothers me about it. There's these other, like, Polanski gets this pass.
Yeah. And we know for a fact.
Like, it's a fact that he raped a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a fact that he fled the country and has avoided prosecution.
Yeah.
For years.
And extradition, yeah.
Right. And
yeah. None of this is in dispute.
Right, right.
This is all. This is
not, these are not allegations.
Yeah.
You know, this is what happened, and he's a genius.
Right.
You know, but Harvey Weinstein took a couple of girls to the casting couch.
Yeah, I think.
And is that a problem? Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think you should. You know, I mean, obviously he's abusing his power, but I mean.
And see, he's, and he, even in his guilt, he's abusing his power. Because if you or I do what Harvey Weinstein does, we're in the jail getting beat up. He's like, oh, I'm going to rehab. Going to
are
rehab?
We though, are we in the jail getting beat up?
I think it.
What'd he do? Did he rape anybody? Or is he accused? I know he's been accused of rape.
I think he's been accused of, yes. I mean, I think when everything comes out, I think it's going to be, I mean, it's definitely some indecent exposure. I mean, definitely some things he should be arrested for if charges are filed and followed through with. It'd definitely be some things he could be arrested for.
Right.
And maybe I'm,
well, Hollywood was, you know, smart enough to change their laws. The laws in California have placed, statute of limitations on, like, rape and things like that, if I'm not mistaken,
right,
in Hollywood. Like, you know, now Corey Feldman's coming out, and if you give him $10 million, he'll tell you who some pedophiles are.
That's
a little sketchy to me, man. I'm not saying that bad things didn't happen. His claim, I think, is that Corey Haim was molested, and I'm sure that he probably was.
Yeah.
But, like, why do we have to give you $10 million to make a movie to tell us about it?
See, I'm not familiar with that. I know Corey Feldman has spoken out against some of the things in Hollywood.
Yeah, like, he was on the Today Show the other day.
So let me ask you this, bringing it back around to wrestling. Do you think there could be a scandal like this in wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah.
There already has been. I mean, Vince McMahon's been accused of rape.
Gotcha.
I think it is a matter of time.
Right.
Before somebody accuses him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Because he's already been accused. I mean, any man who's a billionaire, close to a billionaire, I think, you know, has got to listen. I mean, if he can talk to a dude out there that can tell you he ain't probably done something in his life that he wished he hadn't done.
Right.
I mean, Jesus, man.
I mean, we're talking about he more than likely probably got a guy off a murder charge.
No, I'm talking about like in real. I'm not talking about us doing that type of stuff.
No.
But like, and just most dudes I know have probably done something that if it, you know.
No, I'm talking about Vince that he's obviously used his money and power to, yeah.
Everybody with money and power has used their money and power to buy influence.
Right.
I mean, how much money did they donate to the Trump campaign, and now Linda works for the Trump campaign?
But do you think there are, and I don't know how, casting couches. Are there casting couches in wrestling?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm 100% positive.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah. You know, I mean, you hear about it.
Yeah.
There's stories going around about some things.
Yeah.
Maybe involving guys like Brooklyn Brawler and you know, Virgil and
yeah.
Like you don't, I don't want to say anything, obviously.
No, right, right.
But you can do the research for yourself about some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Where Al Snow's head gimmick really came from.
And, oh wow.
Yeah, like you can do your own independent research.
Yeah.
You know. Because he's backed down on that. I haven't heard him tell the story of the little bit of head gimmick. And I haven't heard him tell it in a long time, but I heard him tell it years and years and years ago. And I haven't seen footage of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since then. But.
And now, and for the most part, if in wrestling, if you're a whistleblower, you are blacklisted.
Oh, God. Yeah. There's, I mean, it's such a, it's still protected.
Yeah.
You know, so we didn't get to talk about Santino and Cornette, speaking of. You saw all that,
right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was. I got to give Cornette credit, though, man. Like, he didn't back down. And I'm sure he knows Santino could whoop him, but he didn't back down.
You don't think they're working together?
No. No, I don't. Because both of them got thrown out of that.
Right.
Yeah,
I saw it, but I'm
kind of beyond caring about a lot of that stuff.
I agree. You know? But tell you what, I would like to talk about that on another, because that opens up some more things about wrestling that I do want to talk about.
Okay.
So hey, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, we need you to subscribe. We need you to rate us, download us. Yeah, great stuff. This is, listen, we typically don't do hour and 15 minute long episodes.
Not anymore.
But we feel like you deserve it sometimes. We feel like, you know, we need to sometimes we need to prove to ourselves that we still got it, you know? And I know that as you're listening to this, you're driving down the road and you're giving us that you still got it chant. And I know it. And listen, I'm going to tell you, we know we got it. Like, people were, I saw Jerry Lawler wrestle last weekend, and people were doing the You Still Got It, and I'm like, when did he lose it?
Yeah,
when did he lose
Jerry
it?
Lawler.
The man
we
is,
didn't even get to talk about you, Trey.
Oh, that's a whole nother episode. This was okay. About you and your, and then, you, see, it's a back and forth. It's a dance.
It is.
We're also on Twitter that I check maybe once a day. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
Listen, you said as we were starting, people, you can watch us on YouTube. A lot of people on YouTube quitting. I feel like we're just getting started. I feel like our best days are ahead. I feel like in all the negativity in the world, you and I can be a force for good. And our hand, listen, it's the 30th anniversary. My hand touching your, not 30, I can't add. Get us out of here. Mark, get us out of here.
Bye.
No. For the Double Dropkick Show.
For the Double Dropkick Show.
I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.